glad to have you here this morning, and I trust that you'll listen with your head, listen with your heart, and probably we would do well if, before we even started, if you'd just bow your head and say, Lord Jesus, would you please just give me something today? Give me something I can take away, something I can use, something that I can have like a lunch sack that I can maybe open it up when I get spiritually hungry a little later and maybe gnaw on it again. And leftovers sometimes are better when they're warmed over than they were originally. And so maybe God could give us something to take with us that through this week we can just heat it up over and over again, asking God to be glorified with how we respond to it. The title of the message tonight or today is simply this: Where Bethel Baptist Church Could Go Wrong. Where we could go wrong. I mean radically wrong. And we're going to look at some things, and it's based on this portion of Scripture and some other Scriptures too that we'll blend in. And I trust we can learn today and grow together and be more at the end of the day than what we ought to be than we were when we started today. So verse number 1 of Psalms chapter 78, the Bible says this: Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. Do you know that God wants us to listen to Him? How many times a parent will maybe snap her fingers or just, you know, get a child's attention and say, listen to me. Listen to me. How often we make errors in the things we do because we haven't listened carefully. So God says here, give ear, O my people. So this is a message to God's people. If you're here today and you're not saved, God wants you to be His people. And I can prove that to you from the Scriptures very easily. Verse 2, He says, I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should raise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. We're going to stop there, and we'll be referring to some of the other verses in the message. And we'll come back to this portion of Scripture at another date. And there's so much in all of this, and we're not going to read the 72 verses and try to go through each one of those today. But I think we have something here that perhaps could help us as a New Testament Baptist church. I want to mention this, and I'm sure that I'm saying this to people who already know this, but for re-emphasis, Bethel Baptist Church has no right, biblically, to attempt to run or to dictate to another church how they ought to operate, what they ought to teach, or what they ought to practice. By the same authority, no other church is to have subjection over us. We are an indigenous Baptist church. We hold to the King James Bible as the perfectly kept Word of God for the English-speaking people. We don't have to be ugly about it, and sometimes I know we are. And when I say we don't have to be ugly, I'm talking to me. Sometimes when people are just so departed from the Scriptures and so departed from things that make sense from the Scriptures, sometimes I could probably get ugly. But we don't have to be ugly. Don't have to be that way. We want to be good. We want to be faithful witnesses for Christ so that we may insist on some things. Doesn't mean that we've got a chip on our shoulder. Nor does it mean that that we think that we have a corner on truth or a corner on correctness. We're just as subject to mistakes as anybody. And if we don't stick by this book, we're guaranteed to make a lot of mistakes. And so we want today to look at some things and note some things from the scriptures that I trust will help us not to make some mistakes that are being made, not just periodically anymore, but often in the realm of what we would call Christianity today. In Acts chapter 20, beginning in verse number 28, we find these words. It says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." And clear back in the book of Amos, God said, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of the hearing of the words of the Lord." And notice he doesn't say that it's a famine of the presence of the Word of God. It says there's going to be a famine of the hearing of the Word of God. You can have a library that would fill that wall from one end to the other, and every volume on the filling of that wall could be a King James Bible. But if you don't hear it, it's not going to do anything except condemn you when you stand before the Lord, correct you even in your life. And so we need to understand today that as churches go, so go our nation. And so as we look at the problems of our nation, and don't we have some, and forgive me for having not prayed for our president today, we need to pray for him. And I understand that when he went to the hospital, the report wasn't as bad as what he really was. He was worse than what they reported, but now they've said that he is recovering more rapidly than what they had suspected that he might. And I'm thanking the Lord for that. I would say the same thing if it was Barack Obama, or if it was President Lyndon Baines Johnson, or any other president. I think we ought to pray for those in authority, amen, and those that are in places of leadership in our country. Amen. As I look at this portion of Scripture, there's just some things that begin to ooze off the page and speak to my heart. And I thought, you know, there's some things here that if we don't take mind to those things and don't set our sights on those things, we could be a has-been church. I remember one time going to a Methodist church in Colorado Springs, Colorado, and the church itself took up a city block, beautiful stone building, just an immaculate building. And we went in, and the reason that I and my associate were there is because they were having a book sale. And they were emptying their library of all the non-essential books, all the books that are not important to them now. And we went in there, and there was just volume after volume after volume of conservative commentaries and books on prayer and Bible reading and Bible study and how to rear children, just all kinds of good volumes that we received for almost nothing. And we were leaving, and as I look back, I said to Brother Maxwell, I said, "Brother, look at this edifice here, built by the gospel that's being thrown out right now today." Yeah. Now listen, there is no inoculation that we can take that says we can do whatever we want to do at any time we want to do it and not have to suffer the consequences. Now that's true for individuals, that's true for families, it's true for churches. And so we need to understand there's some things here I want to share with you. You know, if we came to a place where we no longer recognize the authority of the Scriptures, we could get in real trouble real fast. Notice verse number 10. The Bible says, "They kept not the covenant of the Lord and refused to walk in His law." You see, we're living in a time of the Word of God is constantly being attacked. Now, I'm glad today, as I wrote in our letter to our missionaries, which will go out this week with their support, that the Word of God can't be bound, but it can be not adhered to. It can be not obeyed. It can be ignored. It can be tossed to the side. There's no place that God's Word can't go. God has a way of getting the Word of God into prisons and to the most isolated places in the world. But it doesn't do any good to get it there if the people who have the opportunity to don't take advantage of it being there. Higher criticism has come in, and because these people have all these numbers or all these letters behind their name, they think that they can attack God, and they think that they have more power and more authority and more wisdom than God. Could I remind you that Jesus Christ is the sum of all wisdom?
Amen.
He is wisdom in itself. The greedy publishers of other books will print anything for money. The NIV, not inspired version. The NIV first came out in 1984, and it's been updated twice since then. Updated in 1984, and it should be 1974 it first came out, I guess, and then 1984 was updated, and then 2011 was updated. Now, excuse me, why do you have to update it if it's a perfect book? In fact, if it's perfect and you change anything, how can it still be perfect? It was copyrighted in 1973. That ought to tell you something about a Bible. Who on earth has the right to copyright God's Word? Who has a right to say, this is mine and mine alone, and I'll sell it to whomever I want? No man has that right. No man has that right. And so it was copyrighted in 1973, 1978, 1984, and 2011. That means something in it had to be changed for the copyright to be renewed. And so it's simply been a changed book, changed book, changed book. We need to find a book that's true. Somewhere on planet Earth, there is a book that's absolutely true, or Jesus was mistaken when he said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away.
Amen.
And so we need to understand today that somewhere there's a book. And you know, we've studied it, we've compared, we've checked it out, we've gone to see which Bible God has used in the past and which Bible he's using now, and we come up with one answer: the King James Bible.
Amen.
So we need to understand, if we begin to recognize or to not recognize, we no longer recognize the Bible as our final authority, we're going to get in trouble. Neutralizing the significance of the Bible. And listen, every time we come to the Word of God, and I'll give you some examples just to stay faithful to the pulpit. Anytime we come to the Word of God and say, I know what it says, but you've got a problem.
Man.
You're facing disaster. Anytime a child of God comes to the Bible and says, I know what it says, but, you know, raised on a farm, I believe gives me an advantage, and I need all the advantages I can get. But I found out, having not raised very many sheep and having raised even fewer goats, that more goats butt than sheep. There's no need for a child of God to say, I know what it says, but. That's indicating that they just wiped out what they just said about, I know it's the Word of God. Now let me give you an example. There's not a person that has the Holy Ghost of God living in their heart that doesn't know that based on this book that we say we're basing our eternal destiny on, based on this book says we ought to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Now listen, and even the more as you see the day approaching. We say, I know what the Bible says, but. And then after the but comes, I'm tired, I'm busy, it's a long way, I've heard it before, I don't want, I don't like, I don't think. All of these excuses, which just means that child of God is heading the wrong way on the wrong road, and there can be nothing but disaster down the road. Someone says, well, I know you ought to tithe, but. I know you ought to read your Bible, but. I know you ought to witness, but. I know you ought to do this, but. When you have to come up with a but to explain why you have been disobeying the thing you just said you know is true, you're heading for disaster. And if not you, your children, your grandchildren behind you. The holy book, the Bible, has now been placed on the same level, the same par as the Quran or the Book of Mormon. And could I just say honestly today, if you follow the Quran, you're going to hell. Right. And not believing in it's not going to change the temperature of it. If you follow the Book of Mormon, you're going to hell. If you follow the Jehovah's Witness teachings, you're going to hell. And you say, Brother Sutton, are you happy about that? Absolutely not. When I think of Judas being in hell for 2,000 years, it breaks my heart. I think of all the opportunities he had, all the chances, all the influence that was upon his life, and yet he still never trusted Christ. That doesn't make me happy. The only excitement I get out of that is that it proves that God's word is absolutely true. You cannot be so close to Jesus that you die without him and go to heaven. Amen. You can't. You can't. And these other books are placed on the same level. The authenticity of the Bible is questioned. Here's another one. I know people today who rush to the horoscope to find out what's going to happen tomorrow. Used to be they printed those things in the newspaper. Now I'm assuming they must put them online. And people go to the horoscope and say, what's my sign? And what's my this? And what's my that? Why don't you go to the Bible? And when Bethel Baptist Church no longer recognizes the authority of the Scriptures, we're headed down the wrong road. And then here's a second one. We mentioned this a while back. If we lose our fear of the Lord. In verse number 17, the Bible says, they have sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. To provoke means to poke at. To provoke means to lead on. To provoke means to make fun of, to make light of, to tease, if you please. You know, every once in a while you'll see an article in a newspaper and somebody was teasing a dog and they got hurt real bad doing that. And people say, bad dog, bad dog, bad dog. And to a degree that's true. But why not bad child, bad child, bad child, if they're teasing the dog? You know, you can't just poke the bear all the time and expect it not to wake up angry. And so the Bible testifies that if we lose our fear of the Lord, man today cries for independence. Man wants to be turned loose. Man wants to be free. Man wants to do their own thing. But we need to understand that man left to himself, a child left to himself, bringeth his mother to shame, and a man left to himself, a man who's just out on the sea of life with no rudder and no steering and no guidance system, is just going to go in circles until he starves to death. Spiritually, it happens over and over and over again. We've lost our fear of God. If you don't believe that, just look at the subject of abortion in America. You take a strong stand against abortion and you're considered a nut. You're considered intrusive into their life. How dare you try to control my life? Well, somebody ought to. Obviously, you can't. Amen. And then not only that, but homosexuality. And again, I mentioned it Wednesday night, and we don't harp on that a lot. I know people that are given over to homosexuality, and incidentally, I believe according to the Book of Romans, it all starts by not being thankful. Yeah. It all starts by not having a thankful attitude or a thankful lifestyle. Gay and pride are misnomers for what the Bible calls sin. Amen. Let me help you today with the idea of abortion. If you believe that abortion is wrong, I don't know how in the world you could vote for anybody on the Democratic ticket today. That's right. If you have any semblance of believing that abortion is wrong, How could you vote for anybody on the Democratic ticket? You say, well, there's probably Republicans. Oh, I'm sure there are. But I don't know a Democrat that's against abortion. Not enough to show it at the ballot box anyway. And then when you think about homosexuality, let me give you a fact about homosexuality that cannot be disputed correctly. Two homosexuals cannot reproduce.
Man.
So if they're going to carry on their lifestyle past their age, past their life, past their living, they're going to have to recruit somebody. Any idea where they're going to get those recruits? The schoolhouses, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts. They've got to recruit. That ought to make you angry.
Amen.
To think that somebody's out to get this sweet little girl that was born yesterday.
Yeah.
Somebody would like to convert her to homosexuality and bring her into a lifestyle that'll shame the Lord. That innocent little girl. And if Bethel Baptist Church ever comes to a place where we lose the fear of God, we'll be siding with those types of things. And it'll be a shame. The pride of man provokes God. You know, when we think about God hating things. When I got saved, everybody, you couldn't go to church a week without hearing a message about long hair on men or short skirts on the girls. Now, I think we ought to be against long. I think men ought to wear their hair like men. I think ladies ought to dress modest and in modest apparel. I just believe that. But when God's going to give a list of seven things that he hates, long hair and short skirts don't show up on the list. But the first thing that shows up on the list is pride.
Man.
The first thing. And so let me say this about sin, whether it be the sin of homosexuality, the sin of abortion, the sin of pride. All of those things are choices that we make. No one was born a homosexual. No one was born a homosexual. They made a choice to become a homosexual. Oh, it probably wasn't made overnight. I'm sure there was a warming process and a wooing process and a rewarding process. But there came a time when a choice was made. I'm going to be a homosexual. And just like any other sin, whether it's the sin of homosexuality, the sin of abortion, the sin of pride, it's all made by choices. But it all has the same answer too. And that's the shed blood of Jesus Christ, who died on a cross 2,000 years ago and was buried, and 72 hours later got up and walked out of the tomb and ever lives today.
Amen.
To bring salvation and regeneration to anyone that will receive him. Those things have the same victory as any other sin. People today want to be self-oriented. I want to guide my ship. I want to say what I'm going to do. I want to make the choices. Here's what the Bible says about that. Jeremiah 10 and verse number 23 says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in a man that walketh to direct his steps. You have to have some kind of a guidance system. And the fear of the Lord is one of the things that causes us to choose the Lord and the Word of God as our guidance system. We challenge God when we seek signs and we seek wonders. There's mega churches today that are filled with probably, well, I don't know how much today since the COVID, since the virus hit, I don't know what they're doing now, but they'll have 5,000 or 6,000 or 8,000 maybe people in one massive building, and they're all looking for a sign. All looking for a sign. They want to speak in tongues. They want to prophesy. They want some kind of a sign. But when we come back to our to and listen, there are Baptist people that are sucked into that.
Amen.
There's entire Baptist churches that have been sucked into that. But when we come back to the Bible, here's what the Bible says. But he, Jesus, answered and said unto them, an evil and an adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, but there shall no sign be given it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. Listen, the sign that we ought to be following is the fact that Jesus laid down his life and picked it back up again. That proves that he's followable. That proves that his counsel is valuable. That proves that he's the one we ought to be keeping our eyes on. And not someone that wallers in their own foam and filth on the floor and bubbles and spits bubbles and talks in some language that no one understands, and someone says, that's tongues, that's tongues. The Bible would refute that in 15 minutes easily. And it all starts with the fear of the Lord. And when a church begins to adopt the ways of the world, it's no longer a holy entity. It's no longer the thing that God established when he established a New Testament church. It becomes a profane institution. And it becomes the very thing that we're supposed to hate, the very thing we're supposed to oppose. And all it takes is just looking the other way, not getting involved, keeping our mouth shut when we shouldn't, and we'll end up being right down the same road, step by step. To allow man's wisdom and counsel to substitute for God's. In verse number 22, the Bible says, because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation. You know, I've talked to people that hold some of the weirdest doctrines. And you ask them, where did you get that? And well, they just, you know, they had this feeling, or it was a tradition that someone handed down to them, or they ran across it somewhere. Rather than just believing God and what God says, God's plan of salvation is accomplished. God's plan of salvation is questioned. God's plan of salvation can be accomplished in anybody's life, but not when you're questioning that. God, if you're there, save me if I need saved from hell, if there is such a place. Nothing's going to change in your life except your heart's going to get harder.
Amen.
We need to understand we can't question God and doubt him, suspect him, and insult him, and expect the best from him. The Bible says every one of them has gone back. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And yet the world today says, no, there's nothing wrong with that. They're good people. They're good people. They're good people. They're sinners on the road to hell.
Amen.
And they need the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior. We add to the Bible by works and by ritual. We add to the Bible all these self-help books and all this nonsense. And we get a hold of some book. Some guy says something. We just accept it as being right. And we have to cast out a lot of the Bible in order to accept that. And that doesn't seem to be a problem sometimes amongst fundamentalists. When ecumenism begins to control a church, it's going to have problems. And over and over and over again, you hear people talking about, We need to hook up with Rome again. Let me say this to you in all honesty. Baptist churches were never hooked up with Rome.
Amen.
We are not Protestants.
Amen.
Now, we protest a lot of things, but we're not Protestants. A Protestant is something that came out of Catholicism or came out of a church that came out of Catholicism. They're a daughter or a granddaughter of what the Bible says in Revelation is the whore church. And the Bible tells us simply that we're not to hook up with Rome. That isn't our final destination. Our destination needs to remain that we want to be just what Jesus wants us to be. There's a conglomeration of distorted truths and ritualism that just causes all kinds of problems in churches. Galatians chapter 1, beginning in verse number 8, the Bible says, listen to what Paul said. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. That word accursed means let him go to hell. Verse 9 says, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. It seems like the Holy Spirit of God says, I'm going to tell you once and I'm going to tell you again so you know I didn't misspeak the first time. Christian leaders are selling out. Churches are selling out. But you see, it's not just us we're working for. Listen, my salvation is sewed up. It's sealed up. It's in Christ Jesus. When the Holy Ghost of God is called out of here, if I'm alive, I've got to go too. When the Holy Ghost is called out of here, if I'm dead, I've got to go too.
Amen.
That's done. That's all settled. So I'm not working today for my salvation. I'm not working today for my security. I'm working for you and for your children and for your grandchildren, for my grandchildren. I want to take you to a place in the book of Isaiah for just a little bit. I want to show you an idea that's floating around today that's it's not a new idea by any stretch. Isaiah chapter 39. And in the margin of my Bible, I said, one of the greatest statements of selfishness that I've ever seen. Here it is. Hezekiah had been told that he's going to live for a while, but that he's got some things he ought to get taken care of, some sin that ought to be taken care of, some matters that ought to be fixed. And he says in verse number 8 of chapter 39, then said Hezekiah to Isaiah, good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. Well, that's admirable. Oh, good. I'm glad he agrees with the preacher. But then he said, moreover, for there shall be peace and truth in my days. But notice what he said that to. Back up in verse number 5. Then said Isaiah to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord of hosts, behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store until this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Then Hezekiah said to Isaiah, good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. He said, moreover, for there shall be peace and truth in my day. You know what he's saying? He's saying, I don't care what happens to my kids. I don't care what happens to my grandkids. It doesn't matter to me. It's good for me. Everything's going to turn up roses for me. I'm going to check out of here. God has guaranteed Hezekiah that he belongs to him. Hezekiah's on his way to glory. And Hezekiah said, I don't care how much I cause anybody else problems down the road. I'm okay. So they can fight their own battle. I wonder what his sons and grandsons thought as they were being castrated in public and dragged off to Babylon. I wonder what their opinion of Grandpa was at that time. I don't suppose we ought to serve the Lord to get an applause from our kids or grandkids. But I do submit to you that we ought to serve the Lord to glorify Him. And I do submit to you that our serving the Lord to glorify Him will help our kids and our grandkids way more than just saying, well, I'm going to go to heaven anyway, so I'll just eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow I die. And besides that, gun smoke's on tonight, so I'm staying home. And I want that new this, that, or something else, so I'm not going to tithe. What, me embarrass myself by talking to them about the Lord? You know what they're doing to people that are trying to witness for Jesus now? They might throw something at me. So I'm on my way to heaven, so forget all that other stuff. I'm going to do my own thing. We started off asking the question or making the statement that where BBC, Bethel Baptist Church, could go wrong. And when we develop these kind of attitudes, if we were to develop these kind of attitudes, it could cause us heartache and heartache until Jesus comes. God help us today to love this book, to love the Savior of this book, to love the souls that this book tells us Jesus died for, and to live for Christ Jesus better today than we did yesterday. God bless you. Let's look to the Lord in prayer, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one's looking around. My Father, I thank you today that you love us. And Lord, sometimes I wonder why. I know, Lord, that sometimes it's easier to love people than it is other times. And there are some people that are easier to love than others are. But Lord, we know that if we love you, we'll love those people that you love. And that's everyone. And so, Lord, I pray today that you'd help us to just really trim the sails and, Lord, just really determine we're going to be what we're supposed to be and do what we're supposed to do by the grace of God and for the glory of God, not just for us and our well-being, which it will affect, but, Lord, for our children and their children and their children until Jesus comes. Lord, help us to be different so we can make a difference. And Lord, I pray you would empower us and, Lord, that you'd use us for your honor and for your glory. From now until the day we step into your presence, and we'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.